we've got this down to a fine art, guys. Yeah, we really do.
After two episodes, you're right.
Yeah.
We're praised at this.
Was there an intro? Was I going to be like, hello and welcome to Nonstop Misery?
A bowl of Cocoa Pops is a pretty cool intro.
Oh, you fucking copyright infringement.
Have a
starting point so I know.
Today I am joined by, who am I joined by?
Exactly the same people as last week.
No, I need to check.
Is it?
There is no changes whatsoever because you don't have any friends.
Can we check the roster list or something?
Yeah, it's just us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I
am joined by award-winning economist Adam Smith, coming live to you straight from his mother's bedroom. Say hello, Adam.
I'm not sure which joke pissed me off more. Out of those two, but both got to me pretty good there. But yes.
Also, Josh is here.
And hi. Josh.
I don't have a joke for Josh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I don't know if I'm offended by that or happy.
Josh is a straight man. Josh is a straight man. He doesn't
Are you?
He's not a joke.
He's not an award-winning economist, and he's not on... is it a £20? No, £10?
Nope, 20, you were right first time.
Is it a 20? I thought that's the queen on the 20.
These are the calibre of the jokes, guys.
Are we dipping into treason territory?
Hang on, I need to.
No, the queen's on all notes. That's a joke.
Yeah, she is.
Get it?
Oh, okay.
Did you not fucking know that?
I feel like I might want to know more about
that. Yeah, that
country.
Kind of went over my head.
Are you actually
well?
Shitting me, Louis?
No.
So the queen.
You
is,
didn't know
is
the queen she... is on every fucking piece of currency.
Does anyone use cash these days?
That's not the fucking point. Like, holy shit. Jesus Christ. Wow, okay.
Okay.
Right, that's off to a great start.
Yeah.
Do you want to introduce it slightly, what the podcast is?
I thought I did.
Well, you've introduced us. What do we do here?
Well, that's a very good question, Adam. Okay, so I've got the structure up here, right? Structure, colon. What have we been playing?
Mm-hmm.
News.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So what we're doing here is exactly the same thing as last week. A absolutely terrible, off the railsy, non really weird, casual podcasty thing.
Yes.
We're gonna talk about stuff with each other for a while, and then and then we're gonna stop talking, and then you're gonna subscribe.
And you can, well,
we're like we're rest. In the background, so you can pretend you're friends for like a good hour and a half every day. You know, it's that kind of thing for chilled conversation.
The little nagging voice in the back of your head.
Exactly.
Subscribe, kiddies.
It didn't last week. You also say something about kiddies as well.
He did exactly. Like,
I said that exact thing. Yeah.
Oh, it was the exact thing. Is that
that was what's
be like
known
a
in the. That's what's like known as the biz as a callback.
Smart.
The callbacks are the new segues, boys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember much of the last podcast, so.
Well, you misappropriated the word segue.
Oh, I didn't.
Like 27 like, times.
I learned how to spell segue.
It is the French spelling, I believe.
The French don't have a word for segue, you know. It's made by Americans, that's the only way. Anyway.
They are American. Segue. Baguette.
Never. I hope you weren't trying an accent there.
I have a French housemate next year.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
Wow, you are going to get on so well.
We already do. He does my programming.
You're going to be like, have you seen...
I pay him. I do not pay anyone to do my programming.
I was going
to
say, if...
Not
if
with
if
cash anyway, or you'd know if the Queen was on it.
Oh, good. He pays him with exposure on his channel with...
Yeah.
How many subscribers is it now? 50?
Dude, it's like 100 and something, isn't it?
Holy shit, is it?
Is it?
I don't know. This is how in tune we are.
Just how much I care. 182.
Oh, holy shit. With only 3 videos once this one goes up.
Is it? I mean, like, I'm pretty proud of my Breath of the Wild video doing 55.
It was dope.
I mean, that's not half
dope.
Bad.
The only thing is, I am struggling. You changed your name, haven't you? Because it's just Rossi now.
Did it used to be Rossi167?
It was Rossi167. And
oh no!
And I just did a search for a Rossi, and nothing comes up. But Rossi,
plenty comes up. The first thing that comes up is Dia Ile Fisher Rossi.
I mean, didn't you get recommended a bunch of Spanish music videos because you watched my videos?
Yeah, I did as well.
Honestly, like a lot of this stuff is Spanish music videos and Ugandan, from the looks of things.
Well,
so this is going great.
Do they have the number 167?
If you search Commander Josh, it's a lot of my shit at the top.
Exactly, that's the thing.
The top video is me saying farewell.
Oh,
it's a bit like Donkey, you know, when he did I'm Dumb and League of Legends.
No, I don't see any of your videos here, Josh. I see Commander Josh Hawkins.
Oh shit, has someone stolen your name?
If you don't do a space, you get you. If you do a space,
yeah, it's going to be the one word. Yeah.
Right. But just to warn you, there is another Rossi with 1,500 subscribers, so.
Oh my god.
Watch out for that. And he's got a beautiful face, and he does
covers. Does he do a podcast?
He doesn't do a podcast. He does covers of songs, mostly the Chainsmokers by the looks of things.
Is
so
that what that we should mean? Rossi McMichael.
He has five. No, not Rosie McMichael.
No.
Saw
her,
that while I was
her.
Scrolling down.
I know she is 3 million. I think Rossi and Rosie shouldn't be too confused. But you're both just as beautiful, Louis.
Oh,
there we go.
Nobody's allowed to see my face in my videos now.
Anymore.
Yeah.
That's why you took them all down.
I'll do a face reveal when I get like 1,000 Patreon monies in a day or something.
And all the people who saw your face reveal will get to see it again. So there you go.
Yeah. And it'll look different because I'll be older. And that's what happens to faces.
Fantastic. Right then. Yeah. I believe we're like 5 minutes in. Do we want to talk about games or something?
Not really.
Not really. Great. Okay,
I've been playing
good
Overwatch,
show.
And it's you know, sort of, you know, it's I don't know how to put it. Like it's like delving into the very depths of your sort of existential self hatred. You know?
Okay. No, like, not particularly from what you're saying.
Overwatch is sort of, you know, it's systemic. I mean, it's Counter Strike. Overwatch and Counter Strike are the same thing.
Wow, you're going to get so much love for that statement. Overwatch and Counter-Strike are basically the same game.
I love both of them, but they make me hate myself, and I don't know what to do.
How so? Elaborate.
Well, you see, do you know people?
Sadly,
well,
yes.
If you play a game of Overwatch, you're playing with 11 other people. And if you play a game of Counter-Strike, you're playing with 9 other people. And
and it's one of those
all of those people are terrible people. And I mean terrible.
Okay.
And it's just you bang your head against a brick wall over and over, and there's no reward. There's no I don't know.
The rewards is the friendships you make along the way. That's the
online competitive. I mean, like, we met Rohit through Counter-Strike.
We did,
actually.
That's a good point.
We weren't friends with you then. We don't like
Oh no,
you.
I know, I'm much later.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't remind me. Okay.
You're gone, man. I didn't meet
right,
you in Counter Strike.
Okay. Yeah, let's move on.
I am playing Overwatch, and Brigitte, the new hero, is coming out soon.
Oh yeah, the new best girl. Have you played?
Yeah,
she's
amazing.
She's on the PTR. Yes.
Because well, I'm a tank main in Overwatch, and Brigitte is a sort of a support tank flex where she has sort of like slightly tanky abilities.
Yeah, she seems like a hybrid between the two.
Not really. I mean, she's not much. She's not as much of a hybrid as you'd think. She has 250 health and is still supporty. But she has to do her sort of AoE heal. She has to be sort of in the fight hitting people. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So every single time you hit someone, your AoE heal is like triggered a refresh.
Yeah,
and if you go a while without hitting anyone, then your AoE heal doesn't happen.
Okay.
So you have to be, like, getting up there and in the fight and doing things.
So you have to actually be doing stuff to heal.
Which means that she is totally perfect for my playstyle. and I can't wait for them to put her in comp, because she is not in competitive yet.
Well, I mean, if she's only just been released, I'm not surprised she's not in comp.
No, she's not going to be in competitive for a solid month. What's happened is
I can see
Overwatch has seasons of competitive.
Yeah.
Oh, until the new one.
They
starts.
Don't want to reintroduce her until the new season.
Yes.
That would be perfectly fine, right? That's what seasons are for.
Yes.
If they hadn't introduced all of the other new heroes mid-season and made massive nerfs and buffs to new heroes mid-season and introduce maps mid-season, you know, I don't get it at all. It's like we have these seasons here and they're here so that all of the major changes happen between the seasons that
except
way
they don't
except they don't sometimes they do though.
Okay, that's good management.
It's just like, what is the fucking point of having seasons if you're going to be like, oh yeah, Anna, she's out mid-season two, whatever, dude.
Because
and then like a year later, you're like, oh, by the way, Brigitte, you're not getting her until the end of this season, okay?
I mean, that's because, you know, Overwatch is so much of a competitive thing. You know, it's got to look the part. You know, seasons don't actually matter; it's just the name seasons.
Yeah.
You know, it's like how, you know, you've got all the teams from all these different countries, but they're not.
Fuck. Yeah, okay.
Do you want to
all from just outside of London. And I feel a level and an extent of ownership of the you know, the London, like, yeah, you know, this is my country. England is my city.
I'm not gonna indulge that.
I get the sports frustration now. Where, you know, Manchester United is 90% Italian, guys. Because London Spitfire is entirely Koreans. And I don't hate Koreans, but what is the point of having nationality teams?
Yes, if they're all Korean.
Location teams, yeah. If they're, like, literally everyone is Korean.
Yes.
There are Koreans and there are a few Americans in the Overwatch League.
Uh-huh.
Most of the people in the Overwatch League are South Koreans. That's just... And it's like...
Yeah, and as people from England, you want someone to have eaten, like, fish and chips in their life.
You know, I mean, like that was Stylosa, you know, the big meme, the Rang Doesn't Matter guy.
I don't, but you and Zach talk about him so much. I know
he's
about him.
He's amazing and I love him.
Okay.
He did a video where he tried to teach British phrases to the London Spitfire team.
Right.
And then another video where he like fed them British food and stuff like that.
The actual team?
Yeah.
Oh shit, that sounds amazing.
He did, like, a promotional deal with them and everything.
Oh, shit. I might actually check that out. Were they speaking, like, in broken English sort of thing?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what
yeah.
was
yeah.
this British
oh,
food?
Oh, my God.
Pizza? Curry?
He tried to get them to say things like, rank doesn't matter.
Oh,
which
my
is
God.
His little catchphrase.
No, but he had to say phrases, including the letter L, right? just curious.
We're verging on racism here.
Verging. We're not there yet. We can push it a bit further, Louis. We can go.
Come on. The new motto of the podcast.
We're verging on racism here.
I mean, we originally had an idea where we would be like, "Welcome to nonstop misery," and then like a tagline.
Yes.
But we would make it a different terrible tagline at the beginning of every episode.
Yes.
And we never did it because it wasn't funny, but because
we're lazy as fuck.
Structure is very difficult, and it's very important to me that this isn't very structured.
I mean, what are you on about? We've got great structure.
I leave all my structure to my terrible videos. Not the terrible podcasts.
Your one terrible video so far.
I mean, I'm nearly finished on the script for my next video.
Okay.
I was gonna enlist the aid of Rohit to talk about some esports because it's partially about esports.
Oh right, so it's not. I'm not sure I can say the code. I'll say the code names. It's not G4G. No.
Go wild. Just say what they are.
No, it's not.
G4G, I've put... Like, I'm nearly done with it, but I want to get this one out first because...
Got it.
It's maybe...
More relevant?
I've left it too long.
Okay.
For it to be relevant. But in my defense, my networking coursework devoured my life.
Okay.
So...
And by devoured your life, you mean you had to chase up that one guy doing all your networking coursework?
Dude, don't say that in public!
I'm being sarcastic. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, for real. I did a lot of my networking coursework. I was nearly done with it. and then I was going to hand in the nearly finished work, mm-hmm. And then I found out I can get an extension because all of my lecturers were on strike, so they were giving everyone extensions.
Oh, the glorious United Kingdom.
So I've got a while.
Yes. Great.
But anyways, yeah, I was going to finish. So the script is, since no one watches this, we can talk about it.
Okay.
It's probably going to be out in the next couple of days. All
right.
It's on violence in games. That's why. Because I was asking Josh for some Mass Effect footage. Because
You don't need Josh for it. I'm pretty sure the White House has plenty.
The White House has some. I mean, Mass Effect. I want to talk about.
Wasn't Mass Effect on it? I know there was a couple of weird.
I think it was.
No, it was Fallout. Sorry, Fallout.
Dead
was on
Space.
It.
And Dead Space.
I know Dead Space was on it, but like.
Yeah. Just stomp, stomp, stomp.
And what
they
was
never
the...
showed any footage of the POW gun, though, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, it's.
The foam finger.
That's the thing. I could have found. They could have hired me, and I'd find so much better footage for them. Like.
Yeah, Donald Trump, if you want to pay me, like, hundreds of thousands to slander video games, I'll do it. You know, I do care about this art, but.
You know,
money's money.
This offer goes out to the NRA as well. We'll take anything.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah,
the Nonstop Misery, sponsored by the NRA.
Oh, God. That's. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Verging on racism.
Nonstop Death as well.
Oh, no, no.
We're doing it. America.
No, we can't. We're British. We can't talk about guns.
We
that's
can't.
Just the rule.
We can't. Yeah, we can't talk about school shootings, mainly because we don't have them.
Oh, throwing shade there. Actually, we did have them. There was a big one. In Scotland,
yeah,
in the '90s.
Yeah, in the '90s.
Where Andy and Murray? Then... No, no. Where Andy Murray? He was.
Oh yeah, he was.
Well,
he survived that one.
Out.
But the thing is, after that, he did
Andy
something.
Andy Murray was a kid in a school when they had a school shooting
up
in Scotland.
Yeah, he was a survivor of it. And I think only about 7 people died or something. But the thing is, what we did in the UK, it's a really weird thing. But we changed the laws regarding gun ownership. Post that one shooting, and we haven't had one since, so...
I think we had one a solid 10 years later, and then we... and then we changed the laws again, and then we haven't had one since.
The point is,
so,
they happen once every decade.
Had one, yeah, we had one, we changed the laws, went 10 years without, we had another one, we changed the laws, and now we're over 10 years without.
I just looked up list of massacres in Great Britain, and it goes
yes.
to 61 AD.
Yeah, no, that's, no, seriously, for the UK, if
in
you go, look
in America, you might have to scroll a little bit far to get down to the 90s.
No, that's the thing. So with the UK ones, there is one page for all massacres in the history of the UK.
Yeah.
For America, there are multiple pages. You've got top 20 school shootings, you've got top 20
top
massacres 20. In general.
I can imagine
20.
Watch Mojo making a video.
Oh my god. Top 10 school shootings.
Welcome to Watch Mojo.
You won't believe what happens next when he pulls the trigger.
Oh my god, just...
Hello and welcome to our gaming podcast.
I would not be surprised if they've done one of top 10 school shootings in films. Because I'm serious, that wouldn't surprise me.
All you ever get when you pump.
No, just...
better run, I've run my gun. Am I doing it? Am I
oh my god, they did it! Top 10 infamous mass shootings in the US. There we go.
Are you serious?
Top
Watch
10
Mojo
infamous
actually...
mass shootings in the US.
Oh, I literally typed in Watch 10
Mojo.
And that come up.
Yep.
Because
seriously?
Yeah, 4.6 million views 5 years ago. So that is out of date. Because as of, I think, a lot of the most deadly in America have been in the past 2 or 3 years. Like the...
yeah, here we go. Watch Mojo.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know. Told you they'd done it. They've got to update
That's,
that.
That is classy. That is...
One of the comments says this new video needs to be updated once a year.
The sad thing is, it's kind of true. Like that's the thing. I think it gets away because it says infamous rather than deadliest. Because
I mean, we're gonna like live in a world where there are just like you know how we get games top tens at the end of every year.
Yeah,
like,
well, WatchMojo can
my
give
top
out top 10
shooting of the year.
Oh, or top 10 police body cam footage of 2017.
You know, the best thing is that this is all run by me, so there's no executive to cancel this previous conversation.
Oh, it's okay. The thumbs down will show it plenty. Because we are a gaming podcast and we spent the last 5 minutes talking about school shootings. We're going to do well. On our second episode, no less. This is It's pretty good.
I mean, we were also going to rant about some beloved YouTubers.
We will, but I think if we get onto that later.
Well, yeah, yeah, we're going to get onto that later. Yeah. And also, I don't think the Clean Prince Gaming is beloved.
Okay, let's we'll come back to this. But anyway, so is it just Overwatch mainly what you've been playing?
I played some more Subnautica, and I have actual things to say on it.
Oh, yeah? Josh, have you played Subnautica, actually? Because I have.
No. Well.
You haven't? Okay. I'd really recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly if you get on sale. Like, I don't usually like crafting survival games, and it's honestly one of the best games this year.
I mean, that's because it's like
it's not hard.
Linear adventure game.
It's actually got a plot to it, which is
set in a big open world, and you go around and you do stuff. Mm-hmm. But it is a linear adventure game. You have an objective. You do things to do that objective. You carry on until you finish the game.
Well,
and that's what's so good about it. It's got this thing called structure, which I personally haven't heard of. As you can see by this podcast.
I mean, that's the thing.
I think it's quite good.
It's got structure to it, but at the same time, you can go off and do your own thing.
Yeah.
There is an end goal, but
I personally
don't
think it's got enough structure.
I
find myself being like, what? Constantly. Maybe I'm just stupid.
I don't know.
I'm gonna just write this here. Spoilery stuff from here on out, because I don't give a fuck.
Okay, Josh, are you okay
so
with
I'm
this, actually?
I'm just
going to
talk, really.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. All right, then.
How far are you, Adam?
Me? I've got two. So, have you had the call from the saving ship?
Yeah.
Have they arrived at the planet yet?
Yes.
Have they been...
Yes.
Yeah, unsuccessful. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, that's about the point
I've... presumably explored the alien place, then.
Yeah. No, I've got to the end of that. Yeah. So, I've got to that point. I've just started... So, the plot of the game, as it turns out, is there is an illness on the planet. And basically, that's it. It's been quarantined. That's the point why there are alien lasers shooting things down, stuff like that. And it's supposedly uncurable, but there are alien research places which you can find and therefore, you know, try and find a cure for this disease so you can escape the planet.
And then once you cure it, you
free to go. Yeah, effectively. Yeah. You can build a rocket and you can leave. And that's the basic principle behind the game, and it introduced it so well. Like, it's done really well. It subtly brings it up slowly. And that's kind
of... you come across a fish at one point.
Yes.
And when you scan it, it's like, hey, dude, I think there might be, like, an infection going on with this fish.
Well, I mean, they all look fucked up and weird, so it could be whatever, but, you know. I mean, one of the things I love is, like, you can do a thing called... have you ever self-scanned yourself?
Yeah, and it'll say you're infected after a while.
Yeah, after a while, it'll say foreign bodies showing, detected.
Showing signs of infection.
Yeah, and it says stuff like unknown what causes, but it isn't causing health issues. So, you know, it plants the hint, and this is something completely optional. It's just like an option you can do, and it brings it up so subtly. I think it's really clever. I like how it does it. But yeah, sorry, what were you saying about it in regards to like structure? Because I'm assuming you've got to a similar point to me.
Yeah, yes. I'm pretty much at that point.
Yeah.
I explored the alien base. Mm-hmm. I went through the teleporter on the island you go to the teleporter on the other island where I found the human settlement that was all fucked up.
Oh shit! I don't think I've done that one.
Okay.
Because I explored the ruins of the teleport.
Then I couldn't find the teleporter back to the other island. so I had to swim back all the way back to the other island from the other island to get my fucking sea moth.
Wow, okay. Did you not have... I'm assuming you have the sea guide.
Yeah, I did.
Good. I was going to say swimming normally. Like, holy shit, okay.
But
smart move.
It's... because I'm... I'm at that point. I've shut it down at that point while I'm swimming to the other island, and I don't really know where to go from here.
I mean, personally, I'm not sure about you. Before you found the first alien settlement,
I find myself being a little bit aimless.
I mean,
and then the game's just like, "Hey, do this thing," and then I do this thing, and then I progress, and then I'm aimless again. And then the game's like, "Hey, do this thing," and then I find, you know,
I mean,
it's not.
I think that's the
it's
thing.
It's not
because
quite a natural pacing to
it's
me.
It's not, but at the same time, it is an open-world crafting game, bottom line. And a lot of those games really don't have anywhere near the amount
of structure
as this. Exactly. If we compare it to...
But just because all of the other games are terrible, that doesn't mean that we should we should be praising this game for being good.
Yes. Like, no, like, no, like, I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, that's not
instead of being... Because it could be brilliant.
It could be done better, but at the same time, I've not had many huge issues. Like, for example, have you found any... Did you find any other alien settlements before you found the alien base?
I found an alien vent near the Aurora.
Right, because I found... I can't remember where I was, but it was on... I was looking for a survivor from the radio station. And it says, oh, the our pod's here and whatever. And I stumbled across an alien sort of place, like, completely out of nowhere, but it was close to one of my other things. And because I think a lot of it's about exploration. And it's kind of because I was digging. I was looking around there and
Aurora
I found it.
And done all that
oh,
shit.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I've been in the Aurora and everything. Okay. The only thing I haven't done is unlock the captain's chamber. And I'm not sure from looking online if you can yet. But, you know, there's one door you can't unlock from what I can find. So I'm hoping that's a secret for later on, but I don't know.
I have no idea.
Neither do I. But ultimately, for a. Like crafting
really
survival map,
it.
It's I'm I love it. It's great.
Yeah,
because it's
I did bring up last week though that I can't tell if I want it to have co-op or not.
Yes, no, exactly.
Because I think I'd honestly play it more if it did. I think that I would, you know, pick it up
yes.
and play it and make it a big thing. Mm. But we have got to play the way out. By the way,
we do.
I'm gonna be home in a few days now. So
oh right, cool.
Pretty hype.
Cool.
That doesn't sound like a bad show. Yeah, no, because we'll come on to that. Because like games this week, like moving on from Subnautica slightly, but games this week there have been a lot of big releases.
We got us a Studio Ghibli game, boys.
The second, I mean, that's the thing. We've had I think 5 pretty big games this past week. We've had
5.
Yeah, I think so. We've had A Way Out. We've had Detective Fucking Pikachu.
Really?
Oh, yeah, nice. Detective Pikachu came out this week. We've had Ni No Kuni's just been released. We've had Sea of Thieves, Attack on Titan 2.
Sea of Thieves failed to make a splash.
Yeah, okay. And we also had Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered.
I hate myself. And
Far Cry 5's out today, isn't it?
No, is it's it? Not. It's out on the 27th. So
how long have
days.
I been like under in the coursework mode for when I just suddenly surface and everyone's like, hey, video games?
I mean, to be fair, this year
I realized that A Way Out was today because somebody put it in a group chat like, hey, A Way Out is out today, and I was like, wait, what? I thought it was out in like forever. I thought it was out in like holiday 28. What?
Yeah, no
video
yeah.
games.
I know that's the thing. It kind of this week snuck up on me. I think that's because has there been any other big releases this year aside from Monster Hunter World and Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Well, those are pretty fucking big.
I know they're huge, and I've only played Monster Hunter World myself.
I mean, I'm quite involved in the fighting game community at my uni. Not like I'm not a fighting game person, but just because it's a massive part of ComSoc.
Yeah,
and. they went insane over.
I am
like,
not surprised.
Massive.
I have,
and then
like,
same thing over the Smash for Switch announcement.
Yeah,
apparently I'm now hosting a launch party when it comes out.
Hey, I mean, for me, like I suck at fighting games, but I love them. If that makes sense, I've played Guilty Gear Xrd, which is the company's previous game.
I mean, apparently that has very good tutorials.
Oh, it's got excellent tutorials. Like, I actually understood how to play, which is something I've never done, apart from with Skullgirls, maybe? But that I was paying attention for other reasons with Skullgirls.
So this is something really weird that I'm gonna totally bring up to you, because I haven't actually talked to you about my new script.
Uh-huh.
That's
basically what this podcast is. We're script checking, you know.
Yeah.
We're recording our conversations, and
I've done it before to make sure that I'm not totally off the mark.
yes.
But it's shit like how do I put it? Esports and you know, competitive games that are about shooting or punching things.
Yes.
Aren't violent. They're not about violence. They're not about shooting or punching things.
No.
I'm trying to bring this up in the context of the Olympics announcing that they're not accepting violent esports into their roster.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know that the Olympics were even accepting esports. I know it was a big conversation.
They're considering games like Rocket League, I think.
Rocket League? Okay.
It's been suggested. It's a conversation, but...
Okay.
I'm gonna read you this quote, which is the reason that they're not considering games like League of Legends and Counter-Strike.
Okay.
We want to promote non-discrimination, non-violence, and peace amongst people. Mm-hmm. This doesn't match with video games, which are about violent explosions and killing. And we have to draw a clear line.
Okay.
I'm not sure where discrimination comes into it.
Yeah, I don't know where discrimination... unless they're trying to go with like the fucking whole cliche of it being Koreans and shit.
I doubt it. I think you also have to ignore the fact that there are multiple Olympic sports that are about weapon skills.
Yes,
like shooting and others that are literally about fighting people.
Yeah,
fencing, boxing. Yeah.
So, you know, ignoring that and thinking that virtual violence is somehow worse than literally punching a person.
I mean, go on.
I bring up this whole idea that, you know, Counter-Strike isn't really about shooting terrorists.
It's not. I mean...
It's more about, like, the abstract concepts of precision and teamwork. Yeah. And
it is.
Your mindset. You're not thinking.
Angles, communication, situational awareness and knowledge.
Oh, certainly.
And you stop seeing it. I think this is especially a thing with fighting games, where fighting games aren't about two dudes punching each other. Mm-hmm. And if you really, really want to be hyper-literal, I'd still say that they're about two dudes aggressively pressing buttons at each other.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. Fighting games really are... I'm certain that with enough talent, you could make a fighting game that isn't about fighting. Like, I'm certain you can make a fighting game where the visual representation of the mechanics isn't fighting.
Well, at the same time, even...
It would probably look like DDR.
Possibly, but at the same time, it's like with the sort of conversation we're having with how boxing and fencing and things like that, these all should be in the Olympics. It's more the fact that, these games follow the same sort of principles. It's about getting points until, you know, opponent's knocked out.
I mean, I've stuck with Overwatch. Overwatch is the competitive game that I know best.
Yes.
And Overwatch, Stylosa, who we brought up earlier, he fucking loves comparing Overwatch to football.
Yes, I can see that.
And the high concepts of Overwatch and football are fairly similar. Mm-hmm. And you can argue away that you've got your attackers, your tanks, and your supports in Overwatch. And
I was going to say, I thought you were talking about football for a minute. You've never seen a game of football,
you've got
have
those.
You?
I know. Oh,
I love Rooney. He plays tank.
I think my brother plays Widowmaker in his school's team.
Oh yeah, that's probably Neymar. Sure. Neymar's a great sniper.
I know nothing about football, but if you tell a football player to like hang around a star player to prevent them from getting past the ball and trying to score, that's pretty much the same as being like McCree, focus the Widow or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know you've got the striker's mirror resemblance.
Yeah. I'm completely with you. The only bit I disagree with you would be the theming of Counter-Strike.
Okay, so what do you want to do? Do you want to do, like, Counter-Strike for kids? Has anyone seen that machine?
No, literally...
Pick up a wheel gun.
No. I'm just saying...
I'm planning the birthday cake.
Not quite that, but as in, it's more the fact that I'm not sure a game about fighting terrorists
within
an organization which has had problems with terrorists in the past.
Yeah, so this was the specific Counter-Strike issue.
That's the only specific one.
Overwatch, not so much.
Nope. I don't see it at
League
all
of
with
Legends
Dota or
and
LOL.
Dota. League of Legends and Dota are a less blatantly violent than games like Counter-Strike. Yep. You can see the systems there that make it basically sports.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot easier. Mm. You know, it's a lot harder to suspend that idea that it's about violence.
Yes.
you know, that you've got. I mean, I don't actually know a lot about. I used to play ADC and Smite, and my job was when the supports had created space by using CCs for me to capitalize on that space created, and me saying something like that probably sounds really familiar to like a rugby player or something, you know?
Yes.
I don't know.
It's the same concept you find in a lot of sports. The same concepts and same with games. Yeah. Ultimately, a lot of games, particularly competitive ones, they are ultimately sports. It's a competition. It's
as a visual medium and as a digital medium, we're not gonna represent it with the same like physical ideals that sports are.
It's
still what it is mastery of a rule set.
Yes.
Mastery of a rule set and
skill. Master of skill as well.
And I found that conversation really interesting. Mm. And that's roughly half my new video. The other part is on how games should use violence more sparingly.
Yes.
And if Mass Effect didn't have obligatory shooting sections, it would have been better.
I'm assuming you're gonna use the famous Witcher example.
I actually put up The Witcher. Because obviously one of the best parts of The Witcher is the Hearts of Stone DLC, where you just go around a wedding talking to people.
That was awesome, mate.
Exactly.
The combat in The Witcher is definitely the most complex system in the game. It's the one that the programmers likely spend the most time at, and it's really, really... I'm not going to say deep, like, mechanically, but there's a lot going on there.
It's hard to get into, but once you kind of master it, you feel good.
It's still kind of not by any stretch the best part of the game.
Yeah, that's the thing. It pales so much. Like, if you put that in any game, I think, this combat's pretty competent.
But it kind of compares to Zelda games. You know, Zelda games,
you've
got your Z targeting and you're hitting things, but puzzling,
the combat,
wandering around is the part. And We have this, like, weird... Because I love... Don't get me wrong. I love violent games. You've got, like, Doom. You know, Just Cause. Games that are, like, about, you know, that
anarchy,
combat.
Destruction,
amazing,
blood. Yes.
Amazing stuff. And, of course, on the more artistic end, you take something like Spec Ops The Line. If you take the third-person shooting out of that, then it's kind of just a little bit neutered, isn't it?
It's nothing. Of course,
Josh.
You see, this is why
I was trying to work in a natural pause, so we could.
This is subtle, right? This is subtlety.
This is why.
And we are going to take a break here. Listen to a few words for your sponsors.
All right. Are we going? Are we actually rolling now, or are we just kind of?
We are. See if I can chop it up a bit so part of me and Adam's conversation was included and part of it wasn't and stuff. Then again, I have no idea what we were talking about.
We were, before this, we were still talking about the Mass Effect sort of thing. So actually,
yeah, but why did I bring up... Why? why did I bring up TV though? That's the question.
Because we were talking about comparing the gamers and the gaming community to a YouTuber. Like, I see a lot of gamers as TB, or if a big being like Angry Joe.
No, but why did I bring up I see a lot of gamers as TB?
Because you were saying, like, if Mass Effect took out the combat...
There we go. That's it. Yes. Shit like, oh, Journey isn't a real game because you don't shoot any aliens in it.
I mean, honestly, to me, a lot of the reason I see the combat in Mass Effect is for flavor, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't work as flavor because the game has a very clear structure.
It doesn't...
Where it's story bit, shoot some things for a bit, story bit.
Yes, no, it does.
And what it is there for, it doesn't enhance the game, it doesn't do anything to it.
Well, it's the same.
It's this has to be a third person shooter.
Well, it's the same sort of thing with
because I love Mass Effect.
Yeah,
but they have this, like, you know, this has to be a third person shooter because if it's not, if the game is, if you don't shoot things, then it's not a video game. You gotta shoot.
I mean, it could have been something different. It's kind of, it's more the fact...
So, Shepard is a soldier, mm-hmm. and he is at war with violent enemies, so yes. It stands to reason there would be some combat.
Yes.
But that's not how a combat is framed in Mass Effect. It's not... It's not like that, you know? It's story bit, shoot some dudes, story bit, shoot some dudes. I think that if it used the combat a lot more sparingly,
If you are playing it more tactical, which I have been in recent playthroughs, and you have a sort of synergy with your squad mates, you can in your own kind of head play a lore of getting better with your team in combat as well as just getting to know them personally.
Yeah, playing it more as an RPG.
You have to really force yourself. You could do that. You could make that a thing. But the current system, that's not what that is. The abilities, loyalty abilities in Mass Effect 2 are binary.
Yes.
So it's not like you do combat with people and that increases the trust that they have in you and therefore your efficiency in combat improves together, because that's a nice little, thematic tie over combat. Mm. What it is you do the loyalty mission, and when you complete the loyalty mission, they get an ability.
Yeah.
And the loyalty mission is, it's you talk to them, they have a problem, you do some shooting, and then they're, thanks for solving the problem, Shepard. And the two bits at the beginning and end are absolutely brilliant, mm-hmm. Most of the time, because the characters in Mass Effect are absolutely brilliant.
Yes, it's just the bit the shooting
in between
bit.
Where you
it's
shoot
always,
some things.
Yeah. The solution's always
it's
shooting.
It's always
yeah.
shoot some things. And sometimes it's totally fucking what? Hey, Zaid, you're a very violent person, and you need to learn to be less of a terrible person who murders everyone. Let's go shoot some people.
Yes, no, what was my favourite one?
And then at the end, when you meet the final boss, the good decision is to have you not shoot him after you've murdered roughly 100 other people. So what's the fucking point?
No, what's the one where you are looking for what's-his-face's dad?
Jacob's dad. They're just like, hey, mechs, because this needs to have combat.
Exactly. We're throwing in fucking mechs. Yeah. No, it does do that, but at the same time...
You're on a completely uninhabited planet, besides, yep. like, two people. Mm-hmm. And you're wandering around and you're exploring this planet trying to find out what happened. And every now and then the game's just like, hey, shoot some mechs. And yes. the mechs start shooting at you. And that is exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm with you. But at the same time, I understand why it's there. Because if you have, like, you know, a long hours upon hours, like, in movies, they have things in the middle to chop up a lot of the story and things like that. It's present everywhere, and particularly with games where it's much longer. I agree with you, it's not thematically appropriate a lot of the time, and I think if they had something else...
I mean, there was never a moment, I was watching The Post the other day. In the cinema, mm-hmm. the one with Meryl Streep.
Yep.
I bought her up 2 episodes in a row now for some reason. And there was never a moment in The Post, which is, you know, a movie about, printing the fucking Nixon tapes.
Yeah.
There was never a moment where it was like, not the Nixon tapes, but, you know, government leaks about the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
There was never a moment where they were like, oh, you're probably bored of Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep arguing morality with each other. So I'm going to show you some dudes shooting each other.
No,
who cares whether it fits the story or not? You're probably bored.
But the point is, okay, so if you compare it then, why shouldn't Mass Effect be a film then? If it's, as an interactive medium, like...
So the Night in the Woods dev brought this up on Twitter once.
Okay.
Why is this a game? It's a game because the person who's a game developer, because the person who made it was a game developer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a thing you want to make, you use your skills to make it.
Yes.
And, a movie, a director, he wants to make a movie. So what does he do? He directs a movie. A game developer wants to make a game, so what does he do? He directs a game. There are more ways than combat that you can take advantage of the medium of games.
You don't just
have to shoot things for it to be, well, why wasn't this a movie? Okay, people shoot people in movies.
No, exactly. But, like, my point, in movies, so a lot of the time, like, in The Post, that you'll probably notice they break up the pace because it's not all plot, I'm assuming. It's not every scene is not, this is the plot, this is the plot, this is the plot. There's character development And there's things away from the plot.
Well, I mean,
side
the plot
things.
In Mass Effect is character development. Because the overarching plot of Mass Effect is absolute garbage.
Mass Effect 2 is pointless in terms of...
Yeah, Mass Effect 2 doesn't mean anything. It's entirely episodic plots of, this is this character's story, this is this character's story, this is this character's story. Mm-hmm. And the middle of the story has you shoot some people.
Yes.
Having said that, I think it's still my favourite.
It is my favourite too.
Oh no, 2's my favourite. Because I'm not everyone's favourite.
I'm not criticizing it for being this is this person's story.
Nothing really happens, but it's still considered the best because it probably was the best for terms of...
Nothing really happens because of the overarching plot of Mass Effect is terrible.
Yeah. Oh,
we're the Reapers are coming to get us. And by the end, I'm like, yeah, okay. Can I go back to the interesting characters, please?
I mean, I kind of like the overarching plot, on the other hand. I love me some Lovecraftian end-of-the-time sort of shit.
Yeah, I love that shit. But I've heard a really cool story would be if they had 2 was the first game. So colonies are going disappearing, and you're investigating, you're not sure what's going on, and you're building a team. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you find out it's the Reapers. And then 2 would be stopping Sovereign.
Yeah.
And then it would then go into 3 when they finally turn up.
And then
they needed more of the suicide mission style stuff.
Yes, they did.
Because that was Mass Effect at its peak.
Yeah, I just
need to sort of put in there the entire conversation about violence. The violence in the suicide mission mattered.
Yes, it was exactly. It's
There was a lot of stakes to it, and that's one thing about sparing use of violence in any game. Mm-hmm.
It's a bit emotionally
impactful.
Yeah, give an example of, at least in my opinion, what a good combat in the side missions was, would be the Krogan arc. You know, Krogans are an incredibly warlike and violent race. I thought it made sense to have heavy combat emphasis in that side mission.
They make you shoot things to prove yourself to them, and that's totally Krogan.
Exactly. That is an example of a good side mission. But maybe the
loyalty mission where you teach Saeed to be less of a murderous thug should not involve you killing 100 people.
Yeah, maybe not. Or maybe when you're who's the girl with the biotic?
Jack. But say Jack. It's exactly the same with Jack.
Yeah, you know, a violent murderer, maybe not.
You know, Shepard is the sort of guy, at least mine is, or gal. That would consider taking a life to be like a last resort.
Yes.
And he preaches that to characters like Jack and Zaid. Mm-hmm. But throughout the course of the loyalty missions with those, you murder hundreds of people.
Yes.
And then the moral choice has you forcing this character to save one life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, one, that's thematically fucked. And 2, the part where you kill hundreds of people doesn't really add anything besides fairly mediocre combat for maybe half an hour, an hour. And adding combat like that to games that don't need it just means that there's more filler.
I was going to say, do you hear that sound of padding?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's because it's a lot easier to make 15 hours of shooting dudes in chest high walls than it is to make 15 hours of really, really good storytelling.
Also,
it's not just easier, it's more expensive.
Unless your name is The Witcher 3.
Yeah, but you know,
that was made on Slavic vodka and magic.
Died to make it.
Oh, they did. Know? Like, I'm not sure if you heard recently in the news about a lot of people complaining about the practices of CD Projekt Red. They are white knuckling. Like, they are really pushed to the limit.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised looking at the shit they've produced. My
violence in game script and the whole message behind it is less games shouldn't be violent and more we should consider our use of violence in games, because I think a lot of games could be a lot stronger if they didn't have obligatory combat.
Yeah, no, it depends on the game.
And then, like, obviously, for example, other completely separate half of violent esports games aren't about violence.
Yes. They both tie into the same thing, but...
Two very fun ideas to talk about.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, because it is about depending on the game. Because if you said, say, Doom needed less violence, I think you're objectively wrong.
And it's the same, like, Just Cause needs less explosions. Mm-hmm. Just Cause is explosions.
Or, like, Hotline Miami needs less violence.
Hotline Miami is about that, yeah.
It's about, the point is about violence, that's why it goes silent at the end. Exactly. It's all about
Spec Ops the Line as well.
Yes. I mean,
oh, I need to finish that.
Josh, have you played Spec Ops?
I've played about three quarters of it.
Okay.
I never finished it. I need to go back and finish
it. How come you stopped?
It's a modern masterpiece,
I never
dude.
Finished it.
That's the thing. I like Spec Ops, and that's where I end.
I think it was the gameplay that pissed me off, was the constant shooting people.
Yeah, and that's the point, admitted, but it didn't...
I do want to be that guy. Like, people get really pissed off at people that shout that's the point, but... That's the point. Yeah.
It's not supposed to be fun, it's supposed to be tedious, and I get that.
That was a big outcry when The Last Jedi happened, wasn't it?
Oh, God, let's not... Again, we're not far enough away from Star Wars yet. I can't talk about Star Wars.
Sorry, I'm allowed to criticise Total Biscuit, but we can't talk about Star Wars.
No, we can't talk about Star Wars yet, because... Jesus, that's toxic. Plus, I also want to mention that with... Oh, fuck, what was I going to say? You've got me off. That's the big problem I have with Spec Ops. Not the lack of choice, but it's more the... It's just like a lot of things. You like it didn't feel like it was my fault. So one of the big aspects of Spec Ops. So a bit of spoilers. There is one of the best. The points that people bring up a lot is the white phosphorus scene, and everyone brings that one up, and that's great. But it's more the fact that you can see the people before you do it, and it's more. You know, there is no way to progress
without
doing it.
Well, yeah, but if you're just mindlessly playing the game, you're not going to notice.
No, you are, but I did.
The Call of Duty shit, you see the Russian dudes running about. Like,
oh, yeah. No, exactly.
There is a direct analogue to scenes in Modern Warfare 2.
It is, but I think because...
Where you're just in an AC-130 just blowing up Russian farmhouses or some shit.
But I think for me, because I went in knowing it, and I know a bunch of people also complained it.
But
because I knew it, and I thought I don't want to kill all these.
I know that it's not your. I know that it's not your choice, but it ties into that like Undertale thing.
Oh no, it works well. But
at the end, where they're like, you know, do you want to delete all of this and start again just to see what happens? The only reason anyone who worked it out is ever going to carry on is just to see what happens. And
No, I know that, but at the same time, it just felt like. You know, it's kind of, you see it and it feels like the game is saying, okay, you've got to do this to progress. And therefore I feel less guilty. Like, there are games where it's like...
Yeah, but it's not about making you feel guilty.
I think it should... I'd say a fair amount of it is.
The game isn't a guilt trip.
No, but it should make, like, you know, the decisions make more impact, you know, if it feels like something you've done rather than the character. Sort of thing, if that makes sense.
I mean, it depends on how you view the game. It it's less anti-war as much as it is anti-mindless war game.
I mean,
Spec Ops.
Yeah. Ultimately, it wasn't. There was no war in it. You know, it wasn't. You know, there was no conflict. It was a rescue mission gone wrong.
I think it's the line liking Spec Ops the War for the shooting is kind of like that thing where Donald Trump walked out on stage playing Born in the USA.
Yes.
Because Spec Ops the Line is sort of Team America the game. But if you're you know, the song America, you know that.
Yes.
Fuck yeah. But
I was gonna say Team America.
It's less about you know, like fuck.
You know, manliness and yes.
The
guns.
War in the Middle East.
Yes.
So much about
a criticism of it
in
yeah.
the war of. No, it's got...
No, criticism of the stuff around
it. It's not concerned with war, it's concerned with video games about war.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. So, I don't know, I don't feel so getting funny when I have to do things in the game.
I mean...
But I do pick it up and be like, wow, we're literally descending, huh?
I mean, that's the thing.
This is pretty shitty and,
And yeah, no, it did get really shitty, but it felt like... The game wanted to give more an emotional impact, and I didn't get as much emotional impact out of it as I wanted to, if that makes sense. Like, there was it was good critique, but I didn't get the emotion out of it I wanted.
The comparison like, between Undertale and Spec Ops is really interesting.
Yes, and maybe that's a thing for a video.
Weirdly enough, they're both about very similar things.
Well, yeah, they're about cute monster girls, you know, it's...
I do like cute monster girls.
Exactly, it's all about that. And, yes, anyway, maybe we should move on from this exceptionally depressing section.
How did we get to this again?
This is a podcast about video games.
I know, compare this episode to last one. Holy shit, we have just...
This is the Empire Strikes Back
of the podcast.
Stop Misery.
Oh my god.
I almost said The Last Jedi.
Oh my god. No, it's more the fact that, holy shit, what's going to happen in episode 4?
Then I'd get a shit ton of dislikes and somebody would be like, what happened in that bit where it went silent for 11 minutes?
No, episode 4 is The Phantom fucking Menace. Is that when we bring Nicky or Pat in?
The Phantom Menace, we just have, like, somebody in the Discord group who isn't saying anything.
Oh, no. No, they have to be saying something, like, just slightly
maybe
racist
just things. Typing?
Oh, anyway.
We can bring someone on to rant about Korean people.
Let's get Nicky on.
I was going to say, we know the perfect guy.
No.
Oh, anyway. Well, our friends aren't racist or shitheads, by the way. We're not.
Just one.
I swear. Oh god damn it. We are presenting people in the worst light. It's great. It's perfect. Just what we need. So Josh, what have you been playing this week?
Oh god, I've played so much shit in the last week.
When you say so much shit as in a lot of stuff or so much crap.
A lot of stuff.
Okay.
I could list it all and then go through it, because I've literally been kind of jumping in and out of lots of games.
Yes, no, I've done that.
Yeah, go
bit as
wild.
Well.
We'll derail the shit out of you, though.
We will.
Watch Dogs. Let me just say what we all are before we.
Hang on. Well, are you going to say what I think you're going to say?
Watch Dogs 2. Right.
Yes. No. Sorry. Yeah. I want to stop there because I've been playing 2, the shit out of that.
And then also GTA 5 Online. Get back into that a bit recently. We're doing heists and shit.
Okay.
Oh, so you're a sadist too.
What I've been playing? Fortnite. Still carrying with that.
I haven't touched that, so I can't.
Gone back to Destiny 2 as well.
Ooh, okay.
Which is an interesting one.
I want to ask you about that one, actually.
Alright, we'll start with Destiny then.
Well, actually, first I want to start with Watch Dogs, if that's alright.
Alright, fine.
Because I haven't played the shit out of that recently. Because
I haven't played much of it. I haven't? Well, the last story mission I did was when you go into the mat underground and knock over the stones of the
Yep, no, I've just done
people.
That one. Have you done the home one as well, or not?
The home one?
The one
with all the robot things going on.
Yeah, the robot
things. Yeah.
Okay. That one, yeah, no, I'm at the same point on my second or I think third run through. I can't remember. I've just got to that same point. What do you think of it?
It's fucking amazing.
Yes.
I just love how it. I'll say the little details, like where you have music on your phone and you can hear it and use like the app to.
Oh god!
Get
yeah.
more songs and
then
shit
when you
like
turn
that.
It off, he pops his earbuds out.
Yeah, yeah. Take his headphones
or
out.
Or if he's talking to people, they come out straight away. Yep.
Yeah. The fact that you got Google Maps kind of a version of that for your tracking
Noodle
and
Maps.
Shit like that.
It's such clever.
And yeah, kind of yeah, sort of hinting on that.
Oh, it's like the have you noticed just the Uber app.
No.
Driver San
called,
Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, is that what that is? I wonder what that was.
You are an Uber driver, and they've
you
called
become
it.
An
oh,
Uber
really?
Driver, and you do loads of really fun in episodes, and
yep.
most of them are like references to shit. Like,
yeah,
oh, okay.
And they're
fucking,
great.
Oh my god, what is the movie about the robot? What is it?
Johnny Five. Short Circuit.
No, Short Circuit. There we go.
Yeah, it's it literally outright says it's Short Circuit, pretty much. It's
well,
great.
I'd forgotten the name.
No, I know, but I've seen literally like that's the thing. There are so many. The game has so much love and heart into it, I'm surprised Ubisoft made
it. It's pretty really insane is. How
it's
much went into it.
Exceptional. I don't know about you guys. Would you agree or disagree if I said it's the best Ubisoft game?
In recent years, yeah.
In recent years, definitely. The only argument I would put up with that would be the Rayman games.
I feel like, despite the fact that I love it, Watch Dogs 2 is another game that's fundamentally flawed because of its use of violence.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Not suddenly
no.
becoming
anti-violence,
but Watch Dogs 2 is not a game that should have guns in it.
Well, that's the thing. How are you playing Watch Dogs 2?
I'm trying to be really stealthy because it seems like whenever you do get in combat, you get your ass handed to you quite easily.
It's not the fact that you get your ass handed to you. It's the fact that you've got your sort of your fun hipster hacker people.
Yeah, and then they become murderers.
Later, you know, fucking 3D
I like how you print guns. I like how you print guns on the 3D printer.
Why?
I mean,
why? No, have you met the characters? Are they the kind of
when
people
I very
that
first
3D
started,
print grenade launchers?
Because
and then go and murder some innocent security workers so that they can play a prank.
Yeah,
on
I
a
do
movie
find that how it's kind of endlessly violent
for making a film they didn't like.
Yes.
Yeah, how you go and murder a load of film studios just to get a script and shit like that.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work at all. It is the definition of ludonarrative dissonance.
I don't care about the ludonarrative dissonance. I just think it kind of harms the game a bit in terms of gameplay. Like, Watch Dogs 2 in particular, it shouldn't be a game where your characters really resort
murder
to that kind of stuff, and it's much more fun when you don't play it that way.
Yeah,
no, seriously,
I'm trying not to. I'm trying to be stealthy as anything. And
yeah, I know, but the fact that it's there is a problem.
Yeah,
right?
And it's
I
not,
really
it's not even a last resort that you can try to get out of a little bit.
Rumor has it that the third one might be set in Camden.
Yes, which I have,
and I was writing a script on that.
Yeah,
because I want the third one to have no guns and no cars. Because those are the two worst parts of Watch Dogs 2. The guns and the
don't
cars.
Because I really like, again, the small things which the cars allow. I enjoy the open world for what it's worth. I enjoy
the
sights
and
the small
the cars,
stories.
The electric cars, when you hack them and using them as hackable objects are fun. Ooh. But
sorry, you cut out a bit there.
You cut out a bit there, yeah.
Using the cars as hackable objects is cool and fun.
Yeah, no, but as in, like, for example, we talk about Drive San Francisco.
Really give you...
We're talking about the Drive San Francisco, and that subplot wouldn't be there. You know, it's.
I think you could do.
You could do it around it, arguably, but
can you hold on? You could do the game a lot better in a Deus Ex style open world. In the style of Mankind Divided and Human Revolution.
Sort of. I mean, I've been playing. That's one of the games I've been playing this week. Mankind Divided.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
And it's. It's
well,
weird.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's a perfect game.
It's not a perfect game at all, but it's
Org Lives Matter allegory there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's got if you ignore the story and you just look at it for the gameplay, it is a very good BioShock sort of. It's a shock game, effectively. That's what Deus Ex is.
I mean,
and the level design is great. All the little stories and things found when you're going through things, and all the how everything's interconnected, and all the ways in and out of stuff stealthily or guns blazing. It's great.
Is that your first playthrough or you played before?
Was structured.
Sort of. I like the open world personally. I think it adds a lot of personality, especially in San Francisco. It adds so much to that for me, that sort of thing. But I know you disagree. For me, like, when you're going around taking pictures and then the Scooby Gang is all like, hey,
trust me, I think they did an amazing job making the open world work.
They did.
I think that it's getting something, because Ubisoft games have to be open world at this point.
All the big ones, yes. Again,
Ubisoft have open world is our thing. We make open world games. The Ubisoft Tower is the thing they're famous for.
Apart
like
from their smaller stuff, like, because as I was saying, like, the only argument
Rainbow Six Siege cannot be an open world game.
No, I was going to argue Rayman.
Well, yeah, but you can't make an open world 2D player.
Oh, Ubisoft can. do not challenge them. They listen to this video,
point,
they're like, holy
all
shit,
of
we
their,
gotta do this.
All of their games have this kind of system. From Ghost Recon Wildlands to Watch Dogs 2 to Far Cry.
Actually, did Watch Dogs 2, it didn't have towers, did it?
It didn't have towers, no.
Yes.
It had it didn't. It was,
didn't
which was
at all.
Refreshing.
It was great.
I liked how you used the environment puzzles in that game.
Didn't like the way you kind of could go anywhere instantly.
I was fine with that.
I don't know, it just feels like, because of that, I didn't get a sense of the scale of the
sense of
world.
Place.
And place.
Sort of, at the same time, it makes
because you're
more
kind of
sense.
Teleporting here and
well,
there everywhere.
The best parts of Watch Dogs 2 were the small gameplay sandboxes of the enclosed mission areas.
Yeah,
not the massive open world. The massive open world is there because you have to be an open world game if you're an Ubisoft third-person game. All of the things that made it a good open world, in my opinion, were kind of band-aids rather than a cure. Like,
I mean, honestly,
you know, the taking the pictures is great. The environmental puzzles with a drone are great. The scissor lift shit is hilarious. But it's not.
I mean, it's not personally as going round in my second, third playthrough. I've just been driving round and picking up side missions. And as I go around and find a new side mission and then start it in this way and that, the other, I've been enjoying doing that, having that freedom of just going.
But I don't want the game to be completely linear.
Of course not.
You can do that. You can do that in Human Revolution, and there's a lot more of a sense of structure to it than there is in a game like Far Cry.
Sort of. Like definitely more than Far Cry.
It's just...
Yeah.
I cannot stress enough that the things that make Watch Dogs 2 a good open world are retroactive. Yeah, we have to make an open world, so what do we do to make it good? Not here's a bunch of ideas to make a good open world. You know, the open world came before the ideas to make it good.
I mean, yes, but at the same time, I still kind of think it
and
works
mechanically
well
to be
it.
Good open world. Watch Dogs 2 does not need to be an open world. Like, it just
doesn't. I'm not sure if
it's not,
needs
it's not
to,
like
but
Breath
like
of the Wild or something.
No, but I don't think every game needs to be Breath of the Wild.
No, I'm not saying every game needs to be Breath of the Wild. I don't know why you'd think that was what I was saying.
No,
I'm saying it's not Breath of the Wild in the sense that Breath of the Wild is, to its very core, an open world game. Uh-huh. If you take the open world out of Breath of the Wild, then it's no longer...
Mm. What are you on about? The combat system.
The combat system, which is...
The combat system, the really alright combat system, and the finding the 900 Kokorok.
Don't you fucking dare.
But you've got to find all 900 Kokorok seeds. That's like,
yeah, that's how
the
they structured the game.
Well, that's why they made it. I mean, why would they put 900
so many
in there otherwise?
I people who found all the Kokorok seeds, and I'm like, dude.
I mean, the only person I know who needed to was a completionist.
Like, are you an actual sociopath?
Okay, we can't have this conversation as someone who found all the Riddler trophies in almost every Arkham game.
Yeah, I believe that was a symptom of depression.
it's a form of self-harm, I'll tell you that much. Like, legit, it was... For particularly Arkham Knight, it was painful.
That's another example of a game that really...
Oh no, Arkham Knight didn't, because Arkham Knight was awful that way.
No, I'm talking about the open worldiness. You see, it got worse and worse.
Yes.
So, Arkham Asylum was this amazingly
Metroidvania.
Designed Metroidvania. Arkham City kind of threw that away for an open world idea, and in the same case as Watch Dogs 2, it could have worked without being an open world.
Honestly.
But they did, their best with it.
Yeah, okay, hang on.
Arkham Origins.
Oh my god.
I didn't play Origins. It's
not a mess. It's not awful. Like, as games go, it's fine. But it just pales so much in comparison every way to every other Arkham game, pretty much.
See, I played I had this linear DLC for Arkham Origins, where you play, like, Mr. Freeze attacks Bruce while he's having a party in the manor, and it's... You know, it's not as open and stuff as... And that was pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
But the Arkham experience is not enhanced by fast traveling or flying over a grey city.
It's what ruined Arkham Knight for me. Like, the Batmobile, the huge tanking thing, and this massive map. I hated it.
Arkham Knight also got away with it by being very pretty once I got it running.
Oh, it's absolutely stunning, but I was in it for the Batman story.
Batman, you've got one night, and this one night is roughly 72 hours if you want to complete the entire game.
Actually, I'll go look
quick.
Up.
Why don't you go and do this side mission?
As someone
and the Riddler set up a race for you.
Hang on.
And also, I hear the Croc has escaped as part of the DLC.
Yep, he has.
So you should go and save him. And I think Robin's somewhere. And I guess you can ban Catwoman if you want to do all the Riddler things.
Actually, you don't ban Catwoman, but it is a very good farewell. Just throwing out there. Story-wise, I love Arkham Knight. I really do like it a lot.
I need to
the
play
open
it.
World.
I haven't played it yet.
If it runs,
Arkham Knight is that sort of textbook example of the agency of a plot being just murdered by the open world.
It really is.
It's It's hilarious.
It's not good. It's like, I much prefer City. Like, that's the thing, because my favourite of the three, contrarily, is City.
Like, I mean, just mine too.
Yeah, because not just for the story, but I really like the world.
Although, City was my first PC game. City was, and Mafia 2.
Well, City was my second. The first was the Incredibles game, so... And, yeah. Not
I reviewed the Incredibles game. I think it was like the second review on my channel.
It was, and now it's not there anymore.
It's unlisted. And in a playlist if you want to see it.
No, I know, but
it's
all
still
the listeners...
They're still publicly available.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you can see them, and they're all in a playlist.
Oh, shit. Well, there you go.
But
yeah.
The Incredibles, just going back to the violence thing.
Oh, no.
The Incredibles game had a hilarious moment in it, where this can happen a lot, but okay. To open a path to the next area, you have to sort of lift up a pillar and make a bridge with it.
Uh-huh.
And on numerous occasions, I would crush people with that pillar. Just completely, you know, a massive steel girder making a bridge with it. And on the other end, the steel girder would land and just squash a person flat. And you would hear, ah! And, yeah.
And that's fine.
This is a Pixar movie, lads.
Oh, goddamn. Well, to be fair, Cars 2 had a kill count. I think the kill count
Cars
is in the double figures.
Cars 2 was a fever dream, okay?
Cars 2's kill count is in the double figures. Hang on. I'm doing the typing now. Louis, are you still there?
Yes.
Sorry, I couldn't tell. You went completely silent. I'm trying to look it up. Here we go. Cars 2 kill count. There is... Holy shit, it's a 3-minute long video. It's a U. This film is a U, by the way. And it has... Yeah, it's in the double figures. Around 20. Around 20 kills. There are points where you don't know if people died in that huge explosion or not. But probably
Cars
did.
Cars 2 didn't happen. It's a fever dream. The funny thing is that Cars 3 was a really good movie.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. Actually, does anyone here watch the channel Jello Apocalypse? I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, he recently did one on the Disney Pixar movies. And I almost entirely agree with him.
The Pixar movies?
Yeah, he reviewed all the Pixar movies.
Oh, okay.
Because he does these reviews in 10 words or less. And he does all...
Yeah, I remember.
So yeah, he did the Pixar ones, and I know Cars 3 was by far his favourite, and I definitely agree with
really?
That. It's the best Cars film, and...
I mean, it's the best Cars film.
Yeah, I mean, actually, here's a question. Movie. What is the best Pixar movie, then?
Toy Story. Maybe Toy Story 2.
I'm gonna be the careful Incredibles. I think Incredibles is the best one.
Okay.
Hands down.
Mm-hmm. I also really like Bug's Life.
He didn't like Bug's Life, I know that much.
I like Bug's Life.
I like Bug's Life, but yeah. So why do you guys say Toy Story? Like, you're just like, yeah, probably Toy Story. Just...
Probably because... Toy Story 1 was the first film I ever saw in a cinema.
Oh, was it? Louis, yeah. Shut up.
So it has a kind of fondness in my heart because
yes,
of that.
Yes, it's the nostalgia.
And yeah. And 2 was a good sequel. So it kind of
yes, no, definitely.
Stands out to me.
Dude... Bug's Life was about the proletariat standing up to the
bourgeoisie. Oh, fuck off, Louis. I swear to God.
I don't care, man. I fucking love it.
I really like Bug's Life.
It really is a movie... It's a movie about, like, identity and
yeah,
finding yourself and how it's
and
okay
it's
to be
And it's a movie about how
and...
Kevin Spacey was the villain, even before his allegations came out.
I thought Bug's Life was one of the underrated ones.
Oh, it's one of my favourites.
It's a pretty special movie.
I really like it.
Lie.
It's
despite
great.
The whole, you know, communist joke. Because
yes.
Ants are communist, guys. Let's face it.
I mean, arguably it's more of a dictatorship. Because the queen is the one and only one who they feed and all serve.
Same difference, so. Dude.
Oh, okay, right. We're going that way. Okay. But yes. Moving on from Pixar. But yeah, no, actually, I got into playing Watch Dogs 2 again because I reinstalled GTA 5 and played about 3 or 4 hours of that. And when
so,
Watch
roughly
Dogs
half
2,
of that was loading screen, right?
Sorry?
Oh, roughly oh, half of that was loading oh. screen, right?
I mean, not that's that is. About a quarter. But like, that's okay. Not the point. It's like... It just felt like Watch Dogs 2 did... more of what I wanted GTA to do. As in, it was fun. I enjoyed playing it outside of watching the cutscenes.
Okay, so I was really hoping that you didn't want systemic hacking stealth gameplay from GTA 5.
I did not want that, no.
You didn't come into GTA 5 expecting...
I expected bank heist, like really fun bank heist and action and shit.
Yeah, that wasn't a thing. And the bank heist in GTA Online as well.
Oh, I just...
Sort of like this payday imitation.
I did one last night. Yeah, and it's just so infuriatingly bullshit.
Yeah. Me, Jono, Nikki, and Zach, we did a load of these as sort of like LAN parties.
Yeah.
Where, because we're terrible people, after we went to the gym, we'd be like, hey, you want to hang out? And then like 24 hours later, I'd be like stumbling home after playing fucking GTA Online LAN.
Yes.
For like the last 16 hours. Because that's just healthy, right?
Oh,
and we would do maybe like one heist on hard in those 16 hours. And it would just be this like...
most painful experience.
You would have to sort of like... getting to the bank to do the heist was hard.
Yes.
You understand this. You would spawn somewhere... you would have to drive to an escape vehicle, drive to a vehicle that you were going to go to the bank in or something.
Yeah.
You would go to the bank, then you would do the heist in the bank, and then you would have to leave the bank, get to an escape vehicle, which you'd assigned, and go from the escape vehicle to an escape location.
Mm-hmm.
And the two most difficult bits were getting to the bank and getting out of the... getting to the escape location.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were missions.
Yeah.
For example, the Pacific Bank heist, I think, where the escape location is 8 miles away.
That's what we did last
from
night.
The bank.
Yeah.
We did it so many times.
And you have to drive with a 5-star wanted level for 8 miles after fighting to the escape vehicle that you have to. You have to drive 8 miles. The escape vehicle being a solid half a mile away from the bank, and you have to get there on foot on 5-star wanted level with, like, fucking enemies coming at you from all sections.
Yes.
And the game is hit scan, so you can't, like, dodge and shit.
At the same time,
and if you're on hard
no.
mode, these guys can only be killed by multiple headshots.
Yes.
And it's not difficult. It's bullshit.
Yeah. I'm okay with difficulty, but when it's just bullshit...
Yes. I mean, honestly, I couldn't get that far. I couldn't stand grinding up. I couldn't stand grinding up anywhere near that distance just to
it
get
it took
to.
Us the last week to get to that point in the heist,
really?
Just doing the prep.
Jeez,
because
I just...
one of the last prep missions took us all week because we kept getting randoms. It was three two other guys I play with quite a lot.
Yeah.
And the fourth was a random, and they were just shit. And it was just a week of randoms, so we finally could actually do the heist.
This is what I brought up with Overwatch.
People are the worst. People are the worst part of multiplayer games.
They are.
It's like
you have to
ambush this convoy.
Yeah.
And basically it comes along this bridge. We worked out, rather than waiting at the end of the bridge and getting slaughtered, we go up around them on top of this bank and shoot down from above, and it worked.
I remember
really
this.
Until the random decides to drive off the cliff into them and gets killed.
Oh yeah. And if somebody gets killed and you don't have any lives, you just fail.
Oh,
it's
shit,
not like,
yeah, it's got
now you have,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's
what,
not
what,
like
someone
now
dies,
you have
over.
Three people.
Mm.
You just fail and you have to restart from the beginning.
Oh, jeez.
And that means that... So, if you, for example, have to ambush this convoy on this bridge, you have to drive to the bridge. And then if someone dies, you fail and you have to respawn.
Yeah.
You respawn at the start, where you started the mission, which means you have to drive back to the bridge. Which means that it takes a solid 10 minutes
it's not even
before
that.
You
it's...
can even get back to start the mission again.
Yes.
We'd have the random would leave, and then it would kick us out into the open world. And then we'd the person who's hosting the heist would have to drive all the way back from there, back to his house to start the heist, just so we could drive all the way back there again.
Fuck. Me.
And also during the actual end heist, if you get the person with the money, if he gets shot, he loses money. The more
they
get shot.
No, I've heard that. Yeah.
So
no,
we
I
were
just
losing money.
I didn't.
Oh yeah,
have
we
bullshit.
Got basically nothing from the fucking
basically
the Pacific Bank
a week's worth
we
of buying ammo
so many
and shit.
Times.
Yeah,
cost us more than the money we got from the heist in the end of it.
No, I do not have the patience. Not even patience. It doesn't seem fun, honestly.
It isn't.
That's the thing. It seems like such, not just that, but it seems like such a grind outside of that.
Well, look, I'm glad that all the people that are playing GTA 5 Online are playing GTA 5 Online. Because if they weren't playing GTA 5 Online, they'd be playing another game. I might encounter them in that other game.
Oh, well, you might already. Maybe they play multiple games.
They could be listening to this podcast.
No, you're not allowed to play multiple games.
You can't. You've got one multiplayer game at one time.
No. If you like GTA Online, that's your multiplayer game. That's how those games are structured. It's like it's like Destiny 2. Destiny 2 is a lifestyle choice. It's
which,
like smoking.
Speaking of which, Josh, you said you've been playing that. You've gone back to it. Why?
That's right. Segways, bitches.
But I don't know, I just got a feel for playing it again.
Yeah.
Mate of mine got it.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of went back to play it with him a bit, and then he's kind of not playing it as much, but I'm still kind of playing it. I don't know, because I've been away. I loved it when it came out.
And yes, everyone did.
It was definitely an improvement on the first one, but...
Yes, but that's not hard.
It still had the problem with the first one of just after you've done everything, you kind of don't really have a desire to carry on.
That's what everyone said, because Activision seemed to be saying this is a live service sort of thing, and it didn't seem they had any end game content.
I mean, the boss fights that I played on the trial version seemed pretty well designed.
Oh yeah, and the fights are a lot better than one. They're not just grindfest for half an hour.
There were like
them.
Stages, and it felt almost like bullet helly.
And the story was much better, and it felt close to Halo.
What do you mean much? But the first one didn't have a story, did it?
It had a loose story.
Actually, it did have a story.
Oh, it did it in the DLC.
www.bungie.com/destiny/story.
What was it called? The Codex or something?
The Codex.
Grimoire.
That's it. The Grimoire.
they dropped that. Well, no, it's now in game. The Grimoire.
Well, good.
That's pretty cool. Like, you'll pick up a weapon, and there'll be like a free paragraph block of text about that weapon to read. But
I'm glad you don't have to go onto another website to read that paragraph.
And I don't know why it kind of went so quickly, quicker than the first one, even.
It really did, because a lot of people stuck with the first one, and the community seems to have just gone with the second one.
I think the first one, they're kind of like, well, it's exactly the same as the first one, and we can't have it again, so they kind of dropped off. But, I've kind of gone back. There's new things in it since I last played. There's like a masterwork system now, so you can kind of, you get mastered armor, which is better than the normal armor, and you can dismantle that to get master cores to upgrade your own armor that you already have, and weapons and stuff like that. So that's something else to chase for. And I've just been kind of playing it again, just doing stuff I kind of haven't done that much on it.
Okay. But are you enjoying it usually, or is it just kind of a...
It's been nice to go back to it, but I wouldn't say I'm going to get much more out of it.
Yes. And that seems to be what a lot of
after about a week, I'm kind of probably done again.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to say that. Like, that's everything they get out of Destiny 2.
There's another DLC apparently coming. I haven't got the season pass. There's been one DLC.
I've heard it's not great.
It was pretty short and didn't have much.
Yeah.
There's another one in May, which apparently is going to be bigger.
Well,
and everyone's thinking it's going to be like the last one, and that there'll be a massive expansion towards the end of the year that will kind of overhaul it a bit. But
it's not. I don't know. I'm not tempted to pick it up at all.
No. Destiny is a game to play with friends.
It is.
That is
I heard
core, the main
a
thing
lot
about
of people.
It.
Went from Destiny, like a lot of streamers and things, went from Destiny to Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, I saw about that.
I mean, that just makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And as someone, have you played Monster Hunter World yet, Josh?
No, I played the beta for it, and I didn't really. I don't really like Monster Hunter. It's not
fucking 3DS generation, whatever it's called.
Monster
Hunter 4 Ultimate, I think.
Okay.
And it was pretty fun.
I mean,
I actually considered it a fairly good game, and.
Yeah,
it's pretty decent, and it does that kind of thing right.
Yeah. Oh, it hell yeah.
I don't necessarily know that Destiny does. The funny thing is that Destiny was kind of going for a style that had been around for a very long time, but it was new on the platform and for the people that it was trying to sell it to.
Yes, it was, because it was console only.
And console casual. It wasn't like, I don't know.
No, it
was
aimed at
like
the hardcore audience. It's the most hardcore game.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. It was like the No Man's Sky thing, you know. It was like the No Man's Sky situation. Oh my God, we're getting this like flight sim,
most
game
amazing,
where we get, like, a massive space galaxy where we can fly around and do things. And the people who had already seen that a million times and have played it and been playing it since the 90s were like, wait, this is new?
Well, it's not just
like,
that.
Elite Dangerous came out like the other day, and you're all really excited about No Man's Sky. Like, it's the same, that sort of like looter shooter shit.
Yes.
We've had Borderlands, you know? We've had
Warframe.
We've had Warframe.
I'd argue Warframe's better.
Oh, Warframe.
Warframe, of course. Fucking Destiny's style is very derivative of Diablo.
Yeah.
If you're not. I
to an extent, yeah, it's the looting aspect. Not looter shooter, but yes.
I don't really know what Destiny was trying to why.
It was trying to be the next one.
I just like, why Destiny? what is your thing? Whenever anything enters any market, it's offering something that is a gap, and Destiny didn't seem to be doing that.
No, it's kind
well,
of
I mean, it sort of did accidentally.
It's a thing.
It filled the gap for the console looter shooter MMO thing. And the thing is, yeah,
I think it's cool. Destiny is mainly about community and clans and doing stuff together. But without
the people that play that kind of shit are just happy with the progression systems in games like COD. Well, like, if you want that, like, Skinner box shit, they're pretty happy with just unlocking a new gun in COD every now and then and going, do-do-do-do-do, ranked up, you know?
Yes, I do know.
They're pretty happy with that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
you know, Destiny aims at a PC audience.
Particularly 2. 2 was really, yeah.
Yeah, Destiny aimed at a PC audience of, like, you know, sort of sad sack co-op gamers like us. Yeah. But Destiny aimed at the COD playing audience, or the people that still play Halo, the mad bastards. No.
Yeah,
Destiny seems to be a very
Destiny's multiplayer is actually pretty good series as well.
All right,
is it?
It's like like a lesser version of Halo, but it's still got the love of Bungie there somewhere in the background trying to get
through.
And you've
got cooldown based abilities, and the cooldowns are a solid 30 minutes.
they're actually buffing that soon. There's an update coming out soon where they're going.
Oh, they're finally fixing.
It's that's the thing. It seems like
where everything's going to be sped up, movement speed,
and every now and then
cooldown.
You pop your ult, your character gets a fire sword and gains the ability to fly.
I mean,
just murders everyone.
That was the ability ripped from the Titan in Destiny 1. They just pulled it and gave it to the Warlock.
I mean,
yeah, you get my point, right?
It seems like they've just done the same thing as EA just did. Like, EA just put microtransactions back in Battlefront and changed the system again.
Do you see they apparently pulled it out though, didn't they? They've like completely rehauled it and made it progression system.
Oh, they pulled it out again.
They've overhauled it apparently in the last week completely, and now it's just progression system, no microtransactions.
Yes, no, they
at
have.
All.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and it seems they're doing that, but it's way too late. We're in March now. It came out 4 months ago, and Destiny's been out for ages, and you know, both of them. It seems they're trying to recoup the drastically dying.
I think we're going to see in the next year a great sudden rise in Battle Royale games, unfortunately.
I don't think so. I think they're on the way out. I think we've seen the surge.
Yeah, we have.
Well, but Fortnite's pretty high night now, and it's overtaken PUBG.
It is. It has, but
I just have a feeling that certain games, mainly COD, are probably going to try and imitate
I don't
that
think they will.
In the air.
I think it's already passed.
It's nice to see the better game win.
I will agree with that. I fucking hate PUBG.
Because Fortnite started as a...
I played Fortnite before it was Battle Royale, when it was just the PvE version, and it was fun.
Yeah,
I liked it. And it's good that
Fortnite
it has kind of
as
taken
an
off.
When it was fighting against PUBG for the Battle Royale. And now it's bigger.
And when it first did it,
better.
Everyone was
and
like, oh, he's just kind of trying to rip off PUBG.
Rip off,
but it's the better version now, and it's way more popular.
PUBG B was stealing a fucking mode from another game. Like,
oh yeah, but Battle Royale, you can't claim the Battle Royale
thing. Player Unknown, the Player Unknown of Player Unknown's Battlegrounds is... pretty fucking obsessed with the idea of, like, people stealing ideas and stuff.
Well, I mean,
even though his fucking game, you know, he didn't write Battle was it?
Battle Royale.
He didn't write Battle Royale with cheese, and he didn't fucking make H1Z1 or
yes. DayZ. I was gonna actually. Has anyone actually watched Battle Royale aside from me? Oh god, you guys need to. It's great.
I fell asleep halfway through the Hunger Games one.
No. It's nothing like that. It's like the Hunger Games, if the Hunger Games had, you know...
Jennifer Lawrence looking bored out of her mind.
Oh, no. This film is so good. It's got Takeshi Kitano as a PE teacher who violently murders children, and children murdering each other in bloody ways. And it's amazing.
Okay.
I seriously need to show you guys this film if I haven't. I'll show it to Zach, yeah,
it was... Wasn't it like the original version, then it got remade as well?
Oh, I don't know if it's got a remake. I don't care. The original's great.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck it. Like, seriously, we're going to watch that at some point. It's such a good film. It's one of my favourites, I'd probably say.
And speaking of dystopian futures where everything is horrible and murderous and violent, the news! What's happening this week?
Oh, for games.
Okay. We've kind of covered the news, though.
Covered most of it, I think. Well, we discussed briefly.
Some semblance of structure before we wrap up, because we're at the half hour.
Yeah, I was going to say. So literally, all that's come out this week, we've had Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered. Does anyone care?
No.
Somebody made a video essay on it.
I bought it on PC for a quid years ago, and I never played it.
I played it. It's kind of
a decent Assassin's Creed.
It's all right, but
it was better than fucking whatever else came out that time.
Unity was fucking trash. But as someone who really enjoyed 4 and then played Rogue and then went back to play 4, I realized I was a really dumb kid. I did not enjoy either of them as much as I did before.
Yes, there we go. Assassin's Creed 4, not that good.
I think we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
We have.
4 should have just been a game about pirates, not about assassins.
Which is what we're getting this year, apparently, so...
Ooh, this is like that thing where...
It's Greece this year,
this
isn't
is like that thing with violence, you know? Yeah. Games should be what they're about,
exactly.
Not about obligatory things that should also be in games.
I mean,
I think it's because games are such massive projects. Like, you're never going to have an author... who is writing a book, just him or her, put random stuff in there out of obligation to other people.
Yes. The games? I mean...
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite example is Dying Light. How many fucking mechanics are in Dying Light? It's a first-person parkour with shooter elements.
It's got crafting.
Looting, crafting, lockpicking. It's got everything.
There's driving.
Yes. No, there's driving as well. Forgot about that. It's got everything you could want. Oh, elemental weapon damage and shit like that.
Of course.
It's got everything you could want. Anyway, on the same day, speaking on the pirate theme, we had Sea of Thieves. Has anyone played it?
It didn't make splash.
Fuck off, Louis.
I was just flicking through some news. And I don't think
anyone on PC played it because it's on the Windows 10 store.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I was never really hyped for it. A lot of people were. To me,
I mean, I heard Total Biscuit moaning about it on his podcast, and a lot of it came down to content. Doesn't have enough content to keep people going. It needs more progression, and you know, a game about the ocean.
Yes,
needs more depth. Doesn't need a progression system.
Do not say what I think you're gonna say, but
it doesn't need a fucking unlockables. It needs more depth. It doesn't need more content.
Okay, let's move on from depth. Let's find a different word.
I just
want
to keep making depth jokes.
Okay, right. Anyway.
My point is, though...
Yes, it doesn't need progression.
The complaint about people being like, I just have enough content. Fucking Counter-Strike. You've got one set of shooting mechanics, about two guns,
and about
one map...
8 maps.
And everyone has played it for 1,000 hours. No. It's not about it needs like loads of stuff. It just needs what it does have to be brilliant. And apparently, what Sea of Thieves has, having played a little bit of it but not a lot, I was in the beta for most of it.
Yeah.
Which has been a solid few months now, and I picked it up every now and then.
Mm.
But because of reasons, my Xbox Live thingy, which you need to do that on a PC now, is Rossi167YT, as in YouTube.
Yes.
And I get kind of embarrassed.
Oh, bless.
I could be Rossi167 or Rossi underscore.
You can change your name, can't you?
No, it costs you £8.
£8? It used to be like a fiver, though, I think.
I mean, I'm still not paying a fucking...
No, I know.
I mean, it's better than PS4, where you can't at all. I'm stuck with my own.
Apparently that's coming, and apparently it's going to be a decent system, where it's kind of like Steam, you can do it for free, but it's kind of like you're capped to a limit per month or something like that.
Okay.
Hey guys, we're the PS4, and we've been out for 5 fucking years.
Okay, we do not need to have this fucking argument. Anyway.
We don't need to, yeah.
So, Sea of Thieves, I mean, to me, it looks like what they were saying it was gonna. It looks like
nothing's
what they
changed
showed.
Since they showed it about 6 years ago.
People seem to have hyped it up to be more than it promised to be.
I mean, it didn't really feel like anything to me.
I'm not really sure what it was going for.
I remember
it's
seeing
very
that.
Aimless, and what's there is very shallow.
I remember seeing the trailer for that at E3, like the
shallow.
Year the Xbox One came out.
Yeah,
shallow.
That's how far long ago it was supposed to be coming.
Yeah,
and we're nearly getting towards the end of this generation, possibly, and it's only just coming.
No, we're not.
Oh well, no, we're halfway through, according to PS4, to Sony or
yeah, fuck that.
Anyway. So moving on from Sea of Thieves, we had...
I was just reading, I saw... I've forgotten about this. Geralt. And he said Geralt. Is in Soul
Geralt
Calibur.
Geralt of Riverwood is in Soul Calibur.
Yes.
Yeah. That could work pretty fucking cool. You think of all his signs and shit.
Oh, yeah,
do.
No, the gameplay looked cool. I mean, it looks cool, and I'm glad he's branching out into other games, you know?
I'm probably not going to play it,
yeah, no, I'm with Louis. I'm going to play it. But it's cool that he's in it, basically. Is what?
Yeah.
We had Attack on Titan 2 came out,
okay.
Which no one cares about.
I don't want none of your weeb shit.
I mean, oh, fuck off, Louis. You love Persona 5.
It's not weeb shit.
It's not weeb shit. That's the thing. That's
a
topic
not
for
not
another
weeb
time.
Weeb shit if you play it.
Okay, that's a topic for another time. But we'll come back to that some other time. Anyway, A Way Out came out, which.
Yeah, we got to play that.
We've got to play that when we'll discuss it. And we also had Detective Pikachu. Which
is trash.
Which I am so disappointed it wasn't voiced by Danny DeVito. It really should
have
been.
Isn't it voiced by... is it Ryan Reynolds doing it?
It was Ryan Reynolds, yes.
Did Ryan Reynolds actually voice him? No.
Apparently. I'm getting mad deja vu here.
Hang on. who voices Detective Pikachu? It's not Ryan Reynolds.
I think it is.
He's doing it in the movie.
Yes, I was going to say, they did not get... they did not get Ryan Reynolds.
Apparently Bill Nighy's in that movie as well.
Yeah, no, there's a movie coming out with Ken Watanabe, Justice Smith? Okay, and Ryan Reynolds.
And Rita Ora, apparently, as well.
Oh my god, that's going to be great. Anyway, we've also... what was the other problem? Speaking of Ryan Reynolds... Do you guys want to do a deep analysis of the Deadpool 2 trailer?
I haven't watched it yet. I need to watch it. So we could do that next week.
It looks like Deadpool 2. I mean,
we could talk about that next week when I've actually watched the trailer.
I mean, watch the trailer. It's Deadpool 2, it looks like.
I heard the trailer. Someone was watching it at a party I was in.
And that's the thing, you haven't seen it. Do you want to do a reaction to it right now, live?
We could do that.
No, don't. And we're not singing.
Can we do a live reaction to the whole of The Last Jedi?
Oh, actually, at the link for this podcast, you probably could do a live reaction to the first Lord of the fucking Rings.
Why did it just go quiet?
What?
Did the speakers break?
Oh my god.
That was about an hour and 40 minutes in, wasn't it?
It was about an hour and 40 minutes in, yeah. Or something like that.
Oh, I mean, you can watch this as a live reaction to The Last Jedi, then.
Oh, Jesus Christ, it's just... Anyway, I think we should probably wrap up before we...
Yeah.
I'm full on a stoop on my desk, dude.
Oh, thanks, okay, this is how good the content is. Even us making it can't keep awake.
Yeah, I'm making a really boring podcast. Yeah.
Welcome to the channel.
No, seriously, I'm ill, and it sucks.
Aww,
so.
Poor Bobby.
I know.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay, baby. You know.
I know.
Just drink. Have a nice cup of tea. You know.
We go and bye sleep now.
Okay. Bye sleep. All right.
We're gonna end it.
Say bye bye everyone.
So everyone, we're gonna say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Good night, everyone.
Bye bye.
Sleep well, and we'll see you next time.
And don't forget to subscribe, kiddies.
We know where you live.
Oh my god, my best is free.
I think I've got
something. That's alright.